Father Brian King from the island of Jamaica, and I grew up in Central America, went to school in South Florida. I'm an accountant by training, became a priest in the year 2000, and now, after 19 years, I'm still the bishop secretary here in the Diocese of Palm Beach. And today we're going to talk about the Transfiguration and what that means for us as a church and how we, as the people of God who form the mystical body of Christ here on the face of this earth, how we are called to be a people of the Transfiguration. So let us begin with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. O God, who in the glorious transfiguration of your only begotten Son, confirmed the mysteries of faith by the witness of the fathers, and wonderfully prefigured our full adoption to sonship, grant, we pray, to your servants, that listening to the voice of your beloved Son, we may merit to become co-heirs with him, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. First of all, thank you all very much for your kind attention and for your patience this morning. And as most of us are all very well aware, from the Gospel of St. Luke, we have that beautiful account of the Transfiguration, where Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up on Mount Tabor, and he's prefigured in front of them. And what does it say happened? His clothes become dazzling white. They see two men conversing with him, Moses and Elijah, who appear in glory. And Peter and his companions see this, and the Gospel says, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him, and they were about to part from him. Peter said to Jesus, Master, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. But he did not know what he was saying. Beautiful Gospel, because you can always count on the apostles of Jesus Christ to either say or do the wrong thing when they're put on the spot. So Peter witnesses the incredible glory that takes place there with Jesus Christ on Mount Tabor. And immediately he says, let us make three tents. In other words, let's set up three altars. And the best way to imagine this, imagine a truly happy moment in your life where you prayed, you wished, you hoped that that moment would never end. And we all live in that moment. We remember it. We recount the story. We share it with our friends, with our family. And that feeling, that euphoria that we felt at that moment, part of us wishes that moment would never end. And that is what is going on with Peter at this moment. Peter beholds the absolute glory of God. He is given a glimpse of heaven. And being a very rational person, he does not want that joy, that happiness, that euphoria to end. Just as each one of us, when we experience something overwhelming, we don't want that euphoria, that happiness to end. So Peter says, let us build three tents. And the Gospel goes on to say he did not know what he was saying. One of the mysteries of the Transfiguration is that even though Peter, James, and John were given that incredible gift, that glimpse of the divine, that encounter of the human being with God, that is not what we are meant to spend the rest of our life doing, just sitting there in rapt attention, staring, or living through that rapturous moment, that we're meant to go forth, we're meant to be missionaries, we're meant to take that experience and go out into the world. But all too often in our life, we have these incredible prayerful moments. Many different religious movements in the church call it that close moment, where we feel truly that connection with heaven. We feel as if the angels or the Holy Spirit, something has touched us. And for lack of a better term, we get that warm fuzzy. That little tingle goes right down our spine, and it fills us with so much joy and so much peace. And then we almost want to recreate that moment. So then we try that form of prayer again, and maybe that same peace, that same tingle, that same joy comes over us one more time. And then we do it a third time and a fourth time. But then we have a very real danger. Am I falling in love with God, or am I falling in love with the warm fuzzy? What am I addicted to? And all too often, our spiritual experience can serve as a distraction from whom God is. Because we like the feeling. We like the euphoria. And sometimes people bounce from one religious group to another, from one religious practice to another, because they keep trying to recreate that feeling. They keep trying to recreate the moment. And the temptation that we have to try and avoid is to fall in love with that feeling, because it distracts us from whom God is. And that's why many times we have people that have an image of God. They have an image of what they think their church should be. They have an image. And they fall in love with the image. And because they fall in love with a particular image, they can't see the true church, the true God, the true experience. So the transfiguration in many ways is a challenge to us as the people of God, as the mystical body of Christ. Don't fall in love with the image. Don't fall in love with the experience. Go beyond. Realize what has taken place on that mountain. Realize that God has given Peter, James, and John this moment as he gives that moment to us. And then we go off. We go down from that mountain. We go back into the world, emboldened by that image, emboldened by that experience, but not lost in it. That we take it and we go forth to try and preach, that we try and live, we try and minister to the people around us. So they saw the glory of God. They wanted to build those three booths. They wanted to desire to stay in that moment, to let the moment never end. But Jesus takes them back down the mountain to continue living their life. So now we ask ourselves three simple questions. What does that mean in my own life? When I have that personal encounter, what do I see in myself? What is the image I see reflected back at me when I look in the mirror? What do I see when I imagine who I am, what my place is here on the face of this earth, in this universe, in this church? Do I look at all that is negative, or do I see all that is beautiful? The transfiguration challenges us to see not only the glory of God reflected on Mount Tabor, but the glory of God reflected in me. That how do I allow the transfiguration of the believer, of me, that I see myself as this beautiful instrument that God wishes to use in the face of this earth, that I see myself as worthy of love, as worthy of service. Because the Holy Scripture says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and you love your neighbor as you love yourself. I cannot see myself as filled with that dignity, as filled with that goodness, as filled with that purpose, as worthy of forgiveness, then I won't extend it to those around me. Then I look at the lives of other people. What do I encounter when I see other people? And for those of you who went to Mass this morning, the Gospel from the Daily Mass, we had the reading with the Canaanite woman who went up to Jesus begging for healing for her daughter. And she's being very insistent, and Jesus is ignoring her, until finally the wonderful holy apostles say, get rid of her. She's being annoying. These holy, wonderful apostles, silence her. Get rid of her. And Jesus looks at her and gives her a very challenging statement. I was sent to the children of Israel. It's not right to give to the dogs what belongs in the master's table. And the woman, filled with faith, filled with perseverance and persistence, but even the dogs eat. Because she saw her daughter. It was something worthy. It was something worthwhile. And it was almost as if Jesus was testing those apostles. Do you have what it takes to love? Even people that don't look like you, that aren't part of our religion. Because here we have this pagan woman who's not part of the tribe. And the apostles just want to silence her. They want to get rid of her. And yet Jesus says, worthy woman, your faith is incredible. What do I see when I look at other people? How do I allow the transfiguration that God affects in my life, how do I allow it to affect what I see in other people? Do I choose to see what is wrong, or do I choose to see what is right? And it is so easy to see what is wrong. It is so easy to fall back on simple stereotypes. It is so easy to justify my opinions about not helping other people. I was sharing with people at a retreat day here in Palm Beach about my parents were at one of the intersections here driving around West Palm Beach, and like in many major cities, you have people begging. And there was someone out begging for money at this interchange off the major highway. And my dad didn't have a dollar, $5 bill, and my mom went through the purse and she found a $20 bill. And she gave it to him. And my father was in shock. He said, what the heck are you giving $20 for? And my mom simply responded to him. This is the story that my father related to me. My mom said, I saw my son, and I would like to think that if that were my son standing out there on the road, somebody would help him. I didn't see a beggar. I didn't see a bum. He may have been a charlatan. He may have been many other things. But I chose to see some mother's son, somebody's child. What do I choose to see when I look at someone? And I have to be very honest with myself that I am the one that chooses to create a story in my head about what this person is doing right or wrong. What do I choose to see? God sees child. God sees son or daughter. Because that person would not exist unless they were in God's imagination, in God's heart, that God loved them. Because each one of us exists from the love of God. So God chose to create. God chooses to share his life. God chooses to love. What do I want to see? Not only in myself, but in those around me. And then my daily encounters with the divine. I said to the people at morning mass this morning after I gave them the challenging interpretation about what do you choose to see, that when we get these epiphanies, when we get these transfigurations in our own heart, in our own mind, and we try to see through the eyes of God, as scripture says, eye is not seen, ear is not heard, what God has ready for those who love him. When I take on that mission, when I take on that challenge to see what God sees, God gives us pop quizzes. And these little things happen in our life where people, events take place to test our resolve, to give us encouragement or to let us know we need more help. We need more spiritual workouts in our life to try and help us see what God sees. Our daily encounters with the divine. How do I find God working in my life on a daily basis? How do I choose to see in my sacramental life the incredible moments that I have where I get to touch the divine? Whether it be through my sacramental participation at baptisms and confirmation, at reconciliation, in the Eucharist, through my marriage, in the anointing of the sick, in my encounters with the deacons, priests, and bishops. How do I truly see my encounter with the divine? That transfiguration, where I see not only what my eyes see physically, but I look beyond. I look beyond and I see what is behind, and I see the glory of God revealed. Peter, James, and John looked beyond, and the glory of God overwhelmed them. There's a little old guy in the parish over here. He's got his walker. He's on his cane, and whenever he goes up to communion, the look of absolute wonder on his face as he comes up to receive communion. And at the end of Mass one day, I said to him, I said, you know, you truly are a joy to watch during Mass, to see your face. And this little old man at the end of the Mass comes up to me and he says, crying his eyes out, Father, if only you could see what I see when I walk towards the altar. He says, I see angels, I see splendor, I see everything. And it brings me to tears that I cannot help but be overcome with awe. To have that gift, that transfiguration, that I just don't see the outward appearance, but I look beyond and I see something beautiful. Thomas Aquinas called the transfiguration the perfection of life in heaven. That I go through life and I allow myself to be overcome with the beauty of what God has created, with the awesomeness of what exists in front of my face, in the other person, in my spouse, in my child, in my daily encounters. That in this transfiguration, my human nature is given the opportunity to meet God, to touch the divine. And so we who call ourselves Christian, we who dare to call God our Father and to call Christ our brother, to say the Holy Spirit works in my life, how when people look at me, how when people listen to my words, how when they look at my reaction, when they hear the words that come from my mouth, when they see the emotions inside of me, do they encounter the divine in me? Or do they encounter an angry person, a cynical person, a sarcastic person, an apathetic person? Do they encounter someone who truly has been touched by God? Do they encounter someone whose eyes have been opened to the wonder of heaven? do they encounter someone who truly believes everything they profess to believe and has allowed themselves to be overwhelmed. So then we become that moment of encounter for them. That's someone who is lost, someone who is searching, someone who is seeking, someone who has been rejected. That when they encounter me, they get that moment where they can also touch the divine. Because when they look at me, when they listen to me, they encounter someone who sees, who truly sees beyond the veil. Holy Scripture says that right now we see as if through a veil, but one day we shall see beyond that veil. That transfiguration is that promise that one day we will see clearly without all of the distractions around us. So as a people of the transfiguration, the challenge God gives us is simply this. How do I allow the distractions of this life to hinder the beauty that God has put right in front of my face, both in creation and in the person I encounter today? We give glory to God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. I'd like to thank you all very much for listening.
And we want to thank all of you for joining us for this month's Spiritual Outreach Call. It was recorded and will be shared on the website later this week. And we hope you'll join us for next month's call on Wednesday, September 7th at 11 a.m. with Monsignor James Moroney of our Boston area. He will answer the question, what do we know about Mary's parents and Jesus' grandparents? Have a great day. Thank you.